dirt roads to rock crawling, two-buck Chuck to screaming eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode 12. This is Jason, and sitting across from me in the studio this evening is Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Jason, how the heck you doing tonight?
Well, I'm extremely tired.
What?
I've had a hell of a week. It's been hot.
It has.
But you know what? Had a great meal. I had some bourbon, and now I got some wine in front of me. And then I'm going to have some bourbon in front of me later. So it's great now.
Is there a campfire?
Not yet. But there will be. There will be. I see a campfire and more bourbon in my future.
Nice.
Near future.
Nice.
So here we are. Episode 12.
Episode 12.
We didn't think we were going to make it past 4, and here we are at 12.
Well, so we got that going for us. Statistically speaking, as I research this podcast world, a lot of podcasts don't make it past 10.
Past 10?
Right.
Wow. So we bucked the system.
We broke the system.
So our listeners and us have bucked the system.
Do we have listeners?
We do. Thank you for all of you that are listening right now. And we have some very dedicated listeners that have been responding to us and reaching out. So that's been great. We love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
At Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey. Instagram, Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey. And then Chris or Jason at WheelinWineandWhiskey.com.
And, of course, you can find us at WheelinWineandWhiskey.com is our website.
The website. So feel free to chime in. And you know, we'd love to hear from you.
So we are actually recording in the studio this week.
Not in the mobile studio.
We're not remote. We've been exploring a little bit. I know Jason went wheeling last, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It was 2 weeks ago. And last weekend.
Some of us still will.
Some of us still will. Well, yeah, as I've said. But you know, life gets in the way of things sometimes, and
you need to start wheeling.
I know.
There's no more excuses. There's no more snow on the trails.
Nope.
Weather's awesome.
It's great. A little hot.
There's a lot of people out wheeling right now, so hello.
It's scary, man.
Lorenzo will hook you up. He'll keep you safe.
Lorenzo, keep us on track tonight, eh?
Our super producer, Lorenzo's in the studio tonight.
Super producer and research assistant. He wears all the hats, and he's
crack research team.
He's still an ass.
He is an ass. All right, so let's get into it, Chris. Why don't you start? You had a couple things that were kind of non at you today.
Yeah, no, it's non sequitur, but we've got. It's interesting. My wife was driving up to Tahoe to. I went up last weekend to Tahoe to drop my daughter off at summer camp.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tis the season. All my friends' kids are at some sort of camp.
Absolutely. So I drove up, I took the camper and the kid, and we camped at South Shore, not too far from Camp Richardson.
Oh, beautiful area.
Oh, the weather was incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a great time. She didn't need to be at summer camp until Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday.
We drove up Saturday, and we had a great day together and kind of puttered around.
So you got up there early.
We got up there early. Nice. And enjoyed a little daddy-daughter time. And it was cool. And so dropped her off on Sunday, and then I didn't drive home until Monday, so I had an entire evening to myself.
So I
read my book.
Welcome to my world.
Exactly. Isn't it nice? It was great. Read my book, sat at the campfire, just chilled out, had a couple of adult beverages. It was great.
There you go.
It was wonderful.
Did it right.
Absolutely. So
fast forward to tonight.
Yeah, fast forwarding to tonight, or this today.
Which is Friday night, which is a week later.
A week later.
Okay.
Yeah, the summer camp ends tomorrow. My wife, drove up today to camp in the same campground, different campsite, get up there early to pick up my daughter. And she called me a little while ago or earlier today and said, "What's going on up here?" And it's like, "I don't know. You're there and I'm not." And she's like, there's all sorts of weird stuff happening up there. There's police like, everywhere. What? The road's closed, blah, blah, blah. So I did a quick Google search, and sure enough, up on Highway 89 50? Is closed.
Oh, 89 right there along the lake.
Along the lake, yeah, heading up towards Emerald Bay, is closed because they're, I don't know if Caltrans or somebody discovered a suspicious device alongside the road or near the road.
Are you kidding me?
It looked like a bomb.
Oh, jeez.
So, FBI,
everybody.
ATF.
It just went off the rails.
All the police agencies they could find were racing up there.
Helicopters in the sky.
Holy smokes. And I'm freaking my daughters. So, there's a ton of, obviously, there's a ton of people up there. South Shore is a very busy place with Camp Richardson and all the other campgrounds that are in the area. So, I'm actually happy to see the agencies, the government agencies responding in force.
So, did they come to a conclusion, or what's
I don't know the answer to that.
No, and your wife's okay?
She texted me and said she's in camp okay. But concurrently, there was also a bank robbery that occurred somewhere.
Yeah, bank robbery.
I'm starting to think.
But wait, there's more.
But there was more.
So we got FBI agents. We got the bomb squad.
Right.
On Highway 89. And now we got a bank robbery going on up there?
I don't know where the bank robbery was, but apparently the pursuit happened through state line, you know, the casinos and
oh boy.
And they I guess they said at one point they had raced up Kingsbury Grade heading towards, you know, Gardnerville.
Oh jeez.
But they had closed the road, and they turned out that they hadn't actually gone that way. They had headed towards South Shore, towards the Y.
Oh boy.
And anyway, I guess from what I read, the pursuit ended at the Y where that Raley's is, mm-hmm. and they emptied the market, and I guess somebody was arrested.
Oh boy!
From what I read, there were two males that were the bank robbers, and then the female was the driver, the getaway driver.
Oh,
and she's in custody, and the two burglar or robbers themselves they basically bailed out of the car and ran towards the lake. So they're running around neighborhoods. I don't know if they were apprehended at this point or not, but I'm a little anxious because, I mean, it's about 4 miles from where my wife is camped and my daughter is.
Is she armed?
I don't think so.
Does she have a flare, a bear spray or something with her?
Something? She probably has a skewer for
a
s'mores.
Crochet needle?
S'mores.
Something. Hope she's got something to arm.
But yeah, so
herself.
There's a little bit of crazy activity up at Lake Tahoe right now.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I didn't catch all that. I was busy trying to finish up my work day and get home. Because it was a hell of a freaking week, but like going up there. I'm glad the Celebrity Golf Classic was up there. What, a week or two ago?
Yeah, it might have been.
Good thing that wasn't going on. Well,
Steph Curry could have apprehended these guys.
There could have been. Yeah, there was a lot of celebrities up there that could have. Okay,
that's current events.
Wow. Okay,
that's not what the show's about.
No, but that's interesting stuff.
It's family related, so I'm a little concerned.
There you go.
Anyway,
but you talked to your wife, and she's okay.
She's okay. Currently okay. But, you know, kind of dovetailing into that. So there's a camping trip with my daughter last week and was pretty awesome. But obviously prior to that, we had been camping up at near the Rubicon.
We've been talking about the Rubicon a lot because that's the only trail that's open.
I see. Well,
Fordyce is going strong now.
Fordyce
people
is
are making it across.
And Wright's Lake, the gates to Wright's Lake have opened, but Barrett Lake hasn't opened.
Correct. I hope Barrett Lake opens.
Probably in the next couple of weeks, I would think.
You think so?
I don't know. With this
I don't
heat
think
wave,
it's
going to
open
maybe?
Until September.
Really? That
honestly,
late?
Honestly. Nope. Mark my words, September.
All right. Well, we'll see.
And it's going to be open for 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's going to shut back down.
That's a short season.
It's very short. As soon as it opens, holy smokes.
It's going to be a ripping and roaring.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be in there, but that's
ripping
all right.
And roaring. So, but we probably, I know, I don't know how many episodes ago we had mentioned that I had some repairs I needed to do on
my
camper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're going to fix some leak or something in your camper.
Correct.
Did you get that fixed finally?
I did. The camper was at home between trips. When I got home from the Rubicon trip, it was sitting in the driveway. I finally had the opportunity, the time, and the materials to make this happen.
Okay.
Climbed up on the roof. And I really was focused on that back vent where the Fantastic Fan is. And I can maybe post a picture on the Instagram so y'all can see. I know it's pretty boring stuff, but
y'all can see. You've been talking to Kobe too. I know.
Exactly. But you know, this is the, you know, you own all these toys, you have to maintain them, right? And there's a lot of
upkeep.
It's a little house that you need to take care of. Yeah. It's got plumbing. It's got electricity. It's got everything you need to take care of. It's got a roof. Yeah. Roof leak. You know, yeah, you get up, the shingles are bad.
Oh, whatever. Wait. No, there's a generator. You got a generator on yours?
I have a generator.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's oil change. Gotta
change the oil.
Yeah. Upkeep.
So I went up there and I started scraping off the Dicor, which is that caulk that don't even.
Which is used to seal the cracks.
Yeah. Anyway, I started scraping it off, and I got to a point where I was I could see dirt from when I pulled off the Dicor. I could see the dirt underneath. I was like, well, there's the leak because the water was
clearly see where there was no dirt.
Absolutely, it was night and day. Yep. I'm like, okay, this is I found it. So I scraped it all off, got it all cleaned up, pulled the Fantastic Fan out.
Yep.
And typically when you have an installation like that, you're going to have what they call butyl tape.
Yeah.
Is going to be on the flange.
Yes.
Between the flange and the roof.
Correct.
And it's a rubber roof on my camper. So.
Okay.
I pulled all that off and there was no butyl tape.
Nothing.
So there was no secondary water barrier.
It was strictly the Dicor.
It was just the Dicor, and it was inadequately done. Now I don't know if that was inadequate from the factory.
It was probably a Friday.
It might have been a Friday afternoon
when they put that vent on.
Now the camper's been great otherwise.
They just wanted to get home and drink their bourbon.
They must know Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Maybe. Maybe they listen to this podcast and go, oh crap, we forgot to put the
Anyway, pulled it all apart, found the problem, cleaned everything up, got all the old caulk off and put everything back together, put the butyl tape on there, made everything it's nice and secure. Yep. So that's a secondary water barrier. Got everything redone, got the new Dicor on there. It looks beautiful.
Now, did you get a hook up to the local fire hydrant and shoot a fire hose on your camper to see if it leaked anymore?
I haven't done that yet.
Oh, we need to do that.
That's crazy talk.
No, we gotta make sure that sucker don't leak.
Well, okay.
It's better to test it in the summer than in the winter when we have like 40 days of straight rain again.
Well, let's store it inside.
Oh, that's right, because you're rich.
I'm right.
Storage for your camper.
So maybe we can one of our days up at Meadow Lake we can test it out.
Well, you drive your camper into the lake, or what are you going to do?
Well, it's a Dodge. It's, you know, I can do that.
That's a proper place for a Dodge. Is at the bottom of the lake, in my opinion. Wow. But there you go.
Wow. Anyway, so that's kind of my situation. I don't know if you have anything you want to go over. We could talk about Sierra Trek, which is coming up.
Yeah, Sierra Trek is coming up. You mentioned Meadow Lake. So we mentioned that in the past, and I know reservations are coming to a close here. And
today?
I don't know. Is it today? And so by the time this podcast airs on Tuesday, it's going to be too late.
Yeah.
Yes. How about that?
There it is.
Hopefully you got your registration for Sierra Trek.
You know, if you don't know what Sierra Trek is, if you're a listener and you're relatively local to California, this is a premier event. It really is.
They usually have a handful of, literally a handful of extra tickets if you get up there early on Thursday morning.
Exactly.
But, it is a wonderful place and, definitely check it out. Hopefully you've already registered if you're planning on going. If you're not, well, hey, just roll the dice and see if you can make it happen when you get there. Worst thing is you're going to be able to camp and you just won't get the food, but you can bring your own food and hang out and check it out.
You're supposed to have
a wristband in camp, you know, because there's entertainment and all that stuff going on. So, they sell entertainment only wristbands at the event.
Correct.
So that is still a possibility, but, if you want chow, you need to have a ticket by the time you're listening to this. So,
well, that's kind of how I did it last year. I didn't pre-register. I went in and we were up there. We drove in Friday morning early. And, I wandered over to main camp and the registration booth and I talked to, I don't know who it was. I said, hey, you know, I'd like to buy a vowel. And, She's like, you know, somebody backed out that already paid, and I was basically...
That's right. So they do have some extra tickets right. once in a while, if you're there early.
Correct. And it was, you know, it wasn't cheap, but at the same time, the value you get I didn't do any trail rides. Actually, yeah. I didn't leave camp the whole weekend.
No, you didn't.
But we had
a Barbie Jeep.
Yeah.
And you didn't have any with you.
Well, neither one of us brought our Jeeps.
We just came up there to participate.
We drove up to party.
And that we did.
And oh yes. You know, they have the bands that play. They've got the raffle.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday night. You got Saturday night raffle.
Breakfast. They don't do lunch, do they? It's just breakfast and dinner, right?
Correct. And then there's the snack bar where you can pay additional to get some chili dogs and stuff like that, hamburgers. They got the bar that's open.
The bar.
Yep. And, you know, it's just, it's a really cool, they set up a town in the middle of nowhere up in the High Sierras. Beautiful, beautiful area. Lots to see, lots to do. Check it out.
Beautiful lake, plenty of swimming, fishing. I don't know, the water's probably going to be a little chilly this year.
Water definitely will be a little more chilly this year, but all good. So, yeah, so what else? So what's going on with your rig? Have you done anything to it, or are we getting ready to take this thing out of the garage and do something with it?
Well, I mean, I drive it around town. I haven't done it. I mean, So
you do some mall crawling at least?
Oh yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, it goes, it leaves the garage and goes driving around town, tops off and whatnot. But, I was actually, you all remember Kobe, y'all.
Y'all, see, there you go. You have been talking to Kobe.
Channeling Kobe. So Kobe's been busy working on his rig because he's going to be actually heading up to
Meadow Lake. I was up there, last Sunday at his place in Pruntucky.
Pruntucky. So he's been working on his camper. He's been working on his Jeep. I guess he broke his Jeep last year at Sierra Trek.
Yeah. We were doing a little welding on it last year, coming in on the main road.
Link, right? One of the links.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we welded it up. So he didn't get to do the trail, but he's upgraded. He ground all that stuff off, upgraded with metal cloak. And some really nice brackets. I was looking at it last weekend that he's welded into place. And he got some new springs, some coilover springs. And, he's going to be ready to go for the trail. So, looking forward to seeing him out on Fordyce Creek Trail.
Yeah, I talked to him a couple days ago, and he said he's raring to go. You're going to do the river run. You're going to go down.
We're going to go as far as we can.
Right. So
I'm going to bring the buggy this year.
Where are we going? I mean, I know I kind of deflected off my rig a little bit, but
yeah, you did just like that.
One of the things that he was talking about is he bought the same compressor we all did, the ARB dual.
Yeah.
Twin air.
Mm-hmm. Twin air. Yeah.
And so he was going to make a template, for.
I saw it.
Oh, you
I
did? Saw it.
Oh, yeah.
I still haven't seen the template.
Oh, no, it's nice. Aluminum plate that's going to fit on his driver's side fender of his rig. And, it's going to be a real nice, clean setup.
So I think that once he's finalized all that, he was going to provide me with a little bit of material and a template, and I was going to build my bracket.
Oh, really?
To mount my twin air. Because I'm at the point now where I know we talked about buying our buddy's rig and doing stuff. And I'm actually, you know, I really like building my rig.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to tear my rig apart and build it.
You are?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Well, if I had your kind of money, I would go that route.
It's not even that. I mean, I've got the Dana 44 in the back. If I chrome molly the axle shafts, it's ARB. It's locked up already.
Uh-huh.
If I put a bigger lift on, which I can do relatively inexpensively, whether I go spring over or just buy bigger, you know, more arch springs.
Uh-huh.
I actually enjoy the building part.
Well, I agree with you. I do too, but it's dollars over that. You're going to throw ridiculous amount of money into building yours up to what you could pay a fraction of the price for.
I don't know.
I'm telling you right here. I'm here to tell you. Lorenzo's nodding his head right now.
Lorenzo is always talking about.
Yes, no, he is. He's given the ghost.
You know,
sign.
We pay him hay. He doesn't.
That's
he doesn't
true.
Shit.
He doesn't. Doesn't he? Damn ass.
Dumb ass.
Anyways.
I don't know. I mean,
I know. I'm telling you, 30 years of off-road experience building my rig. For the money that I have in my Jeep, and I hate to admit it, but it's my Jeep. I will never sell it. I love it. But I could have bought two freaking JLs with the money that I got invested in that thing. But this thing will go anywhere. The CJ5 rocks it. That's street legal, by the way, Tyler, Jimmy. but anyways, you know, so I was going to link it and do the whole, you know, coil over shocks and everything. And I started adding up just parts alone that I needed, you know, and luckily I have access to a full fabrication shop and know how to turn some wrenches and work a mill and weld and do some things. And I was going to do this. So minus labor, I was looking at like, you know, $9,000-$10,000 in parts just to make it happen. And I'm like, shit, I can go buy a badass rock buggy for a few thousand more. And that's what I did.
Right.
And, you know, it just made good sense. And so now I got two rigs.
Well, now you have two. The thing of it is, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I do. But there's other forces in play in my life.
Well, you need to sort that out, because I'm telling you, and you've got kids that need to go to college and stuff, and money well spent. You need to you need to conserve your dollars there, even though you've got several mayonnaise jars in the backyard that you can dig up. But
well, I mean, if I was to spend the money, I mean, and it's realistic to think that I could order, you know, a front Dana 44.
Yeah.
Built, ready to bolt in.
Yeah.
Slap it in there, put the bigger lift on there.
Yeah.
Get the tires and wheels. Get up to 37s pretty easily. I'm ready to put a saw to the wheel wells.
Okay. Well, that's easy.
I'm ready to cut that thing a little bit.
Cut those out, but.
And, you know, I mean.
You need to go 39-40s. That's the tire everybody's going with now.
I got to move to tons at that point.
That's what I'm saying.
That's stage three.
That's what I'm saying. What do I do?
Well,
it's so
this to do the inexpensive tons, you know, you're talking junkyard 40 and 60 Dana 60 front,
and 14 bolts,
a 14
Don't
bolt.
Forget about the 14 four, bolt.
You know, 14 bolt in the rear, 60 in the front, or in your case, a 14 bolt in the front and a 60 in the rear. Is that? I don't even know.
No, 60 rear, 14 bolt front.
Yeah, on the buggy, right?
Yeah,
which is weird.
Well, everything's backwards on that thing. It's backwards. A mid-engine car.
It's a mid-engine, but. But that, you know, then you're looking at full widths, and then you're looking at, you know, chopping that shit down and custom shafts and the, I don't know.
What I'm saying. You got to get somebody's rig that's already done.
I know. And, you know, there'll be other opportunities. I don't know, dude. I
do know. I'm telling you.
There's a lot of forces in play.
Chris, this is your conscious speaking. Buy that Jeep.
Chris.
You're going to regret it if you don't
Evil
buy
Chris.
It.
Good Chris.
Need to buy.
Do you guys all that see Jeep. That movie, Animal House?
Animal House. That's a classic. We need to play that campy, and I haven't seen that one in a long time.
Remember that scene where the guy's debating the girl? Yeah, no, we're not going to get into all the details there.
No, that's good.
That's what's going on.
Well, anyway, I'll keep beating a dead horse here, and I'll lead the horse to water, but I can't force you to drink. But I'm telling you.
I would love to. I really would.
No, it's not I love to or anything. You just make it happen. You've done a lot of stuff.
And then I'll be divorced.
You can make stuff happen. No.
Living in a
box. Your wife's not even around for a few days. Just make it happen. You back it into the garage and you put all the shit that's on top of your Jeep currently. She'll never know that it's changed. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Done deal.
Okay.
Done deal. And if she's upset, have her call me.
It's like, why is Chris not answering his phone?
I'll explain everything to her. Make it perfectly clear.
Why isn't Chris answering his phone?
We need a new podcast host. Co-host. Anyways, all right. Well, whatever.
There it is.
It's good to dream. It's good to have stuff. I'm telling you, 40s. What was that little Charlie Brown cartoon that I sent out this week that I saw on the social media? It had a... it had Charlie Brown leaning up against one side of the tree, and what's the other? What's the other character's name? Is that
Linus?
No, it wasn't Linus. It was Peppermint Patty.
Oh, Peppermint.
Was it? I don't know. What was it? Who? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Well, it was two Charlie Brown characters, and one of them was Charlie Brown, and the opposite character, not Charlie Brown. It was Peppermint Patty.
It was Peppermint Patty.
It was Peppermint Patty, right? If we're
What is love, Chuck?
Yeah, what is love, Chuck? And what does Chuck say?
14 bolts, stickies, and titties.
That's right. That is love right there. I love these memes that people come up with. You know they're sitting around either drinking or doing some medicinal something.
Wheeling wine and whiskey.
And come up with these great memes. That one, I was dying laughing. I love it. That's a good one. 14 bowls, stickies, and titties. Okay. So, on that note. All right. Let's move on, Chris. Ultra 4,
Ultra 4, all right.
Since let's we talk are, about that. Ultra 4 update here.
Woohoo.
And the KMC Battle in Bluegrass. Oh, which was in Bedford, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
And we talked about that. We need to make this happen. We need to go to Kentucky.
I heard there's bourbon in Kentucky. There's
a lot of bourbon, a lot of good whiskey. So that happened over the weekend of the July 19th, 20th.
Right. And did anybody we know there?
Well, a few people. Some of the big names were there. I guess it's quite a haul out there, and
it's a long
looks
drive.
Like a beautiful park. A Dirty Turtle. I mean, just the name alone is a cool
Dirty
name, right?
Turtle.
The Dirty Turtle Off Road Park. So I was looking that up just to kind of see. So it's in Bedford, Kentucky. There's 270 acres there.
That's a good sized park.
So this one couple went there and fell in love with the place. I guess so much so that they ended up buying it.
Cool.
Is what their website says here, Scott and Tina. And
Craft Research Squad looking that up?
Yeah. Lorenzo was on this thing. Sweet. So they bought this place and, they didn't want to see it go away and improved on it. They put some RV camping out there, some cabins, and this place looks badass. And watching some of the videos and stuff on social media. The Dirty Turtle. I just love saying the Dirty Turtle.
Do they have full hookups?
And they got a great little logo, too. I wonder if they sell shirts. The turtle's got, like, this gold chain on.
I'm sure they do. They got to have merch. Everybody's got merch.
They
got
to have merch. We're working on our merch. We got Dirtbag, John Dirtbag Clothing here working on our merch. So,
dude, that aerial shot was pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? So, anyways, looks like a fun place. And, I mean, they cater to everybody. ATVs, side-by-sides. Jeeps, buggies. It says here Toyota's not allowed.
Whoa.
Oh, there you go. Jimmy, Tyler, sorry about that, boys.
No bummer, Toyotas, man.
At the Dirty Turtle.
No wheeling for you guys. You'll have to stay on the California side.
So, anyways, the race happened. I guess they had a lot of rain prior to the race, and it was pretty muddy. But
They had that. They've had some pretty funky.
Yeah,
weather
we had some
there.
Crazy weather rolling through the across the United States here. But Josh Blyler took first.
Okay.
And Rusty Blyler took second. So the Blylers just freaking wrapped up number one and number two there, which is cool.
It's rigged.
And great guys. all right. So Levi Shirley took fifth. But he qualified first, so he started number one position, right?
Uh-huh.
Was leading in the race up until the last lap, but here's racing for you, right? He had some problems with his cooling fans. Both fans went south on him.
Somebody stick his radio antenna in there?
Maybe Kobe was riding right seat with him. And Kobe. His ham radio antenna freaking
Kobe.
Stopped his
fan. Is your antenna in my fan?
So it went into limp mode, and he ended up finishing fifth. But that's racing, right?
You never know.
You never know. Anything can happen. That's the Ultra 4 update. And then Ridgecrest is coming up here in September.
Right.
And I am planning on attending Ridgecrest. Somewhere different. I've never been. And we've got some friends of ours racing in that.
That's right.
Yeah. So Josh and Dave are going to be running the 4,500 car.
4,800.
No, 4,800. I'm sorry. Why do I keep calling it the 4,500 class?
4,800
class, the Everyman Challenge class, we call that.
Which is, that's...
But anyway, so Josh and Dave will be running that, and then there's a side-by-side with Bill
Dave,
and John.
Bill and John, then Dave and
I don't know. Is Dave going to run his rig too?
I don't know.
Maybe, but that would make sense.
I thought
so.
He
we could
was.
Have three separate teams running.
That'd be cool.
Two side by sides and one 4,800 car.
Well, we'll have to get clarity on that.
We will get clarity on that. But anyway, so that's on my up and coming list for Ridgecrest in September, the Ultra 4 update. So, what else has been going on? So I've been getting the buggy ready for Trek. And Fordyce Creek Trail. And, so I pulled the drive shafts out.
Did you take them over to South Bay?
I did. I took them over to Steve at South Bay Driveline here in San Jose.
Cool.
Steve's a character. He's got a great, Instagram page, South Bay Driveline, if you want to check it out.
He built my front driveline.
Did he really?
Uh-huh.
How many miles does that have on it?
I don't know, probably about 500. But that was after I freaking pretzeled it. I pretzeled it on Fordyce.
That was
Fordyce.
14 years ago.
No, it was 2011. Oh. I pretzeled it on Fordyce.
And it's 19. That was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get you out wheeling. Anyways.
It's been greased.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, I brought him the front drive line from the CJ5 because it's a long spline slip.
Uh-huh.
And it was chattering a little bit on the last Rubicon run when I got up to speed.
What's that, like 30?
Well, yeah, and some of the flat sections.
Whole 30 miles per hour.
Some of it. But it definitely needed to be attended to and some love. And then I pulled both drive shafts out of the buggy just because, you know, the buggy's new to me since last September. And
is that the first time the drive line's been out?
Well, I rebuilt stuff, had to pull the transfer case and all that stuff. So they've been out before, but and everything seemed okay. But I wanted Steve to go through them so that they're good. And plus, I wanted one of the sexy paint jobs, the Stars and Stripes paint jobs that he's doing, the American flag. Sweet. And I told him, don't put any unicorn fart dust on there, his sparkles. But he says, you want the...
it's only if you're Andy.
you need stripper glitter. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll go ahead and put the stripper glitter on, but no unicorn fart dust. So it's going to be cool. So I'm looking forward to pick those up next week from them and get all those in the rig. I've got some steering that I've been working on. It's full hydro in the buggy.
Right. Did you talk to the man?
I did talk to the man, the godfather of steering, or at least I view him as the godfather of steering. He'll forget more about power steering than most people ever know about power steering. Jeff Howe of Howe Performance Steering. He's down there in Southern California. He set up the rig the steering on my CJ5. And I've been extremely happy with it. You know, a lot of the Ultra 4 guys are running that. Of course, there's PSC and other stuff out there. But and we're not sponsored, so I'm not getting anything. But just personal preference. I've always respected his opinion. And so I walked him through what I had going on with the buggy and the issues that I was having. And he said exactly what the problem was and how to fix it. And so I've got a couple parts on order, a new reservoir with the filter and a pump. And we're going to change out some return lines bigger so we get less restriction on the return line.
There you go.
And that should solve my cavitation and steering problems I've been experiencing intermittently with the buggy.
You're not going to keep the cooler in there either.
No, and with it being technically it's a mid-engine car because the engine's ahead of the rear axle. It'd be a rear engine if it was behind the rear axle, I've been told. So mid-engine car, and it's got, you know, 8-9 feet of hose between the orbital and the pump. Right. And he said, no, that's a good thing because that's more oil volume and more cooling there. And he says, you really don't need to run a cooler. But I do have a cooler from him that I'm going to run, aluminum inline cooler, just because I like to overbuild things and eliminate any issues that I can out on the trail because I work hard and I do a lot of work in the garage at home. And when I put that buggy or the Jeep on the trailer, and I head up to the trail, I want to go have fun on the trail and not work on my shit if I can avoid it.
Well, that's the key, right? I mean, we've all had that person that we've wheeled with that doesn't seem to take care of their junk at home, and you get on the trail, and it's like, oh, yeah, I meant to fix that when I was at home.
Yeah, I should have.
It broke today. It was old. Just fix it now.
Don't mind
you guys can help me.
Coat hanger has a wire under the dash that's arcing out. No, you know, so stuff like that, I just don't have any tolerance for on the trail. But, I mean, everybody breaks. We all have our issues. Out on the trail, right?
We're having technical issues in the studio here. Please stand. Please stand by.
Let's cut to our commercial.
Hold on, let's sponsor break. Hold on.
Okay, we're back, and we saw the mic issue, and we're topping off our beverage here.
Woohoo! Remember, everybody, this is a Friday night, and it's a drinking show. Never forget that it's a drinking show.
That's right. So, Mike's back on. It fell off our studio table here. Apparently, our super producer, Lorenzo, didn't double-check all our equipment before. But,
that's right. No fun yes. for you.
So, anyways, so hopefully that solves the steering issue. We're going to try it out on one of the hardest trails in California here, Fort Ice Creek Trail.
There
and
you go.
Fingers crossed, everything's going to work well. We're going to have a good time up there. And you're going to try and get up for the actual trek, aren't you, Chris?
I am.
Okay.
That's my goal is to drive up. I mean, as we've said in previous podcasts, life has been impacting me pretty hard this season. My career revolves around warm weather. And this warm weather's kicked
my ass
this
year. The weather
year.
Dictates everything that you do, kind of like my career.
So... But things are looking a little bit better. I know this last couple months have been pretty rough staffing wise, so I'm feeling better.
Okay.
So my goal is to to be up there for a couple of nights.
All right.
And we'll see what happens.
All right.
We'll
maybe we can get you in as a right seat at least.
It'd be good.
Maybe
to be
I'll
a
let
right
you
seat.
Drive the buggy. Do you want to even try drive the buggy?
I don't know. I mean, it's scary because it's like
it is scary.
It's point and shoot, and I don't want to break somebody else's.
But I told
stuff.
You, Stevie Wonder could drive this thing.
Well, I am kind of blind.
We're gonna take your glasses off, put your propeller hat on. And put you in the driver's seat.
Perfect.
And send you down windshield 5.
That'll be a hell of a photo.
I will take
for
video
the
because I don't want to be right seat, but I'll just take video. How about that?
That'll be a hell of a photo for the gram.
So. The old Instagram. Instagram's doing good. How many followers do we have now?
I think 163.
And we were excited just to have 100. So we're at 163 now.
It just grows every week.
Every time we post a picture or two, and I've been a little lax this week. I think I only did one photo. I'll send out another one here tomorrow. And and then, of course, this episode dropping on the Tuesday.
Episode 12.
12. Holy crap. Anyway, so Graham's going strong. We're having fun with that.
Yep. Sierra Trek's coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, so listening to the old Snail Trail podcast, and I guess you actually had a phone call today from the illustrious Jimmy Jet.
Did. Jimmy Jet called me.
Hydrojet.
Hydrojet. So it was an interesting phone. I completely out of the blue. I hadn't talked to him on the phone before, and we've texted, but he called me because he was actually listening to our podcast. So yeah, Snail Trail 4x4.
Wow, so the Toyota boys actually listen to a real four-wheeling podcast.
Yeah, the Jeep guys. So if you remember during that last podcast, I was talking about how I like to read post-apocalyptic novels.
Oh yeah, yeah, you.
They're fun. I mean, because it's all survival and, you know, guns and whatever and whatever and whatever. It's stuff I like. It's just.
Yeah. You wear your propeller hat when you read those novels?
No, not really. I don't even know where that. I think it's in my camper still.
Oh, there you go.
Which is in storage.
Indoors.
Because I have that luxury.
Nice. That is a luxury. I wish I had indoor storage.
For free.
Yeah. Anyways.
So he called me to give me a recommendation for a novel that he thought was awesome and that I would enjoy to read. And it's called Lucifer's Hammer. And I've heard of that book before. I've not read it, but it's written by Larry Niven and Jerry
Sounds
Purnell.
Dark.
And it's actually geographically it's in California. So a lot of the stuff that they describe in the book is stuff that we could relate to.
Okay.
So I'm actually, as soon as I finish up the series I'm reading now, which is written by Lou Cadle, I read his the first series of books I read by Lou Cadle were called Gray, and it was about a comet or something that hit the planet and burned all of North America, and people were trying to survive.
That's great. That's happy thoughts on a Friday
Well,
night.
You know, it's post-apocalyptic stuff. Oh, great. Dude. So, but now I'm reading a second series of books these guys called. It's the Oil Apocalypse, and basically it's geopolitics and oil, and there's no oil in the United States anymore. And the
so
places,
no more wheeling, no more gas.
Wheeling, no more unless anything. It's just it's turned cart. Into hell.
Oh, well, and, that would be hell if I can't wheel.
Food.
Next, exactly. You're going to tell me we ran out of bourbon.
No.
Wine.
No.
Oh.
We'll lock ourselves
in. Why do you read stuff like that?
Because it's fun. It's just something
know.
To do.
I don't know.
Gives us a reason to own guns.
I got lots of other reasons to own guns.
Anyway.
That's okay.
But
So you talked to
Jimmy
Hydrojet.
We talked about that. And then he, interestingly enough, as we talked, so he had those recommendations for me. And then, you know, we talked about our podcast, what he thought of it, and so forth and so on. But
not enough Toyota talk for him.
Not enough Toyota talk for him. But he was really impressed with our knowledge about towing, because we do, because we're trailer queen. Our rigs are trailer queens.
We're not experts, but we've done a lot of towing.
We've done
a
lot of towing.
Yeah. Okay.
So he, because he's starting to kind of tickle into that area a little
bit. Yeah. Oh yeah. He got
Clifford.
Clifford, the big red truck.
The tows. He's
it's
starting.
It's a Ford, by the way.
It's a Ford.
Yeah. Oh,
God. Okay. Nobody can be perfect.
I'm just saying.
But
you know, it gave credibility to the
Ford
Trail podcast.
Toyota.
By
it'd be better if it was a Dodge.
Somebody there buying
Toyota,
a Ford.
But, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
So. But anyway, so he wanted to
Dodge Toyota.
He was hoping we'd expand on you know, some of the towing things. So, and I know we could talk about that a little bit.
No, let's talk about that, because you know, we were going to get more into depth in towing. So I one of my ideas was let's talk about the trailer. Let's just talk about not the truck, and we said we were going to get into weight ratings and all that stuff, but let's talk about just loading a trailer, a car trailer.
Okay.
And stuff that you and I do, and not saying that we're 100% correct, but what's worked for us over the years. So let's start with the trailer itself, okay? The car trailer itself. So most of them are wood deck trailers, and I've got a metal deck trailer just because that's what I ended up getting used at a good price. So it's quite a bit heavier. But so you have a wood deck trailer, right?
That's correct. I redecked it a couple of, probably 3 years
redecked
ago
it?
Now. I redecked it.
Nice.
So, pressure treated.
Oh.
2x8s maybe? I can't remember.
2x6.
2x10s.
2x10s. Holy crap.
Those were.
Yeah.
Those are not common.
So yeah, a wood deck trailer, you're obviously going to have to do some maintenance on that, and either paint it or stain it or something to protect the wood.
Or by pressure treated.
Yep. Or pressure treated would be nice. Let's get into trailer brakes and the axles and tires and stuff like that. So wheel bearings get neglected on trailers. You know, people buy a trailer and forget about the wheel bearings. Just, you know, it's done. You don't think about it. It rolls down the highway and you're fine until one day when you're heading to your favorite trail and the wheel bearing seizes up on you because it doesn't have any grease, any lubrication.
Because you haven't maintained them in 3 or 4 years.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, that's something that I like to do once a year, go in there. And I don't know. My trailer, I also use it for work. Sometimes, but it sees quite a bit of road miles every year, and but I check it once a year, and
it's cheap insurance, honestly.
It really is, and it, you know, it's an afternoon or a 3-4 hour ordeal to go through and pull all your I'm assuming you've got a four wheeled trailer,
right?
You know, because that's what you should have. We have a buddy that tows his Wrangler with a single axle.
Doesn't have that anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, does he? Still has it. That's like a 7,000
Every time that thing rolls
there.
Into camp, I just shake my head like, how the hell did you make it here without this shit blowing up? But anyway.
So
you should have double axle, and ideally you have brakes on both axles. But,
right.
So, you know, a little bit of work involved. You can watch YouTube videos and stuff if you've never done it before. It's not crazy hard. If you got, you know, garage, basic garage skills. But, you know, pull the wheels apart, the wheel bearings, check that out, check out your brakes, electric brakes.
It's easy to check when everything's pulled apart.
Absolutely.
Check your brakes.
And you know, electric brakes are really stupid simple. It's just like, they're drum brakes.
Well, they're drum brakes and
it's an electromagnet that activates the brakes and your adjuster nut and everything in there, just like a normal drum brake setup.
Exactly.
But it's a good time to go in there and check. And if you're getting low on your brake pads, replace the brake pads. They're not that expensive.
It's all pulled apart. You might as well do it.
You know, you're going to have to replace both seals, the inner and outer seal. But, you know, then you grease up your bearings and you're good to go for another year.
Exactly.
Tire pressure.
Tire pressure's
well, looking at your tires, too. So if your trailer's stored outside like most people, yours is probably stored inside in a climate-controlled environment with your wine or something. No. I don't know.
Outside. No. But I have covers.
Yes. So put covers over your wheels. And I don't care if you make your own, some plywood cutouts or something, or you buy some fancy cover that goes over your tire.
Sun is your enemy.
Sun, you know, check tires. Just, you know, rubber. And then you start putting weight on there. And you have a blowout on your trailer, that's not going to be a happy start to your trip.
Now, I don't know what your tires are rated, what their pressure.
They're
but
E-rated, 80 PSI.
Mine are D-rated.
Okay.
And they're 65 PSI.
Okay.
But I have 3,500-pound axles.
Yeah, I've got 7,000.
So that's 7,000-pound total on my camper. My Jeep is relatively light.
On your camper, you mean trailer.
I'm a trailer. The trailer's relatively light.
Yeah, so you got a wood deck trailer.
A wood deck trailer, and it's pretty simple trailer.
Yes.
But these are all the things you listeners need to be paying attention to.
Your weight ratings, you know. So trailer tires are trailer. You should get trailer tire specific and not run your old spare tires that you have laying around the yard.
No.
Okay, so there are trailer rated tires.
Correct.
That are going to track well and perform as they should on a trailer.
Correct. And make sure they're balanced.
Yes, and balancing is key. I mean, it's just like anything else. So go down to your local tire shop and get some good E-rated tires.
Right.
So check your pressure. So that's another thing that gets neglected. You know, people will grab their trailer from the storage yard or whatever and hook up and go, and then they load up their rig and then head out on the highway.
Everything's good.
And
why did I have a blowout?
Trailer tires, I mean, even on our work dump trailer.
They get abused.
I mean, oh my God. I'm changing tires all the time because of nails and stuff. But anyway.
Well, if you people that are listening own a trailer and you look in your mirror when you're making a sharp turn, watch.
Oh, how much it folds in.
The lateral forces that are occurring on those tires as you're turning. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Those things take a beating.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to take care of them, really. Pay attention to them.
So yeah, I mean, you can look at your tire and, oh, yeah, it looks good. But until you take a hammer to it or a pressure gauge. See what the actual pressure is. I mean, I've had some tires that I'm like, oh, that doesn't look bad. And then I'll kick it. And I'm like, oh, that's a little soft. And then put a gauge on it. And it's at like 25, 30 PSI. And it's like,
Exactly. Okay,
that ain't good. Once you put a load on it, if it's empty going down the highway, it's going to build up heat. But you put a load on it. Okay, now you got a blowout. And I sent that one picture out on the Instagram page and talked about that in Moab, where I had tires separate. Tire pressure was correct. Everything was happy when I left town. But, you know, 850 miles later, that tire started separating on me.
Exactly.
And those tires were covered and everything. They weren't sun damaged or anything, but just goes to show you take care of everything and things still can go south. But
exactly.
But if you don't take care of things and tire pressure's off, wheel bearings aren't greased, you know, yeah, not good. Brakes. So all that good stuff with the trailer. Now let's get into loading up the trailer. So, you know,
I don't do that.
Who loads up your trailer? You got people that do that, or what?
I don't drive my Jeep anymore.
Oh, that's true. That's true. He hasn't had the trailer behind his Jeep. Well, you did bring it down to the safety clinic, didn't
I did.
You? Okay,
well, I did.
Was back in May.
No, I like towing my Jeep. Yes. Anyways, yeah, loading your Jeep, loading your rig doesn't mean if it's a Jeep or a Toyota or a buggy.
Well, you're four wheel drive.
Your four wheel, your rig.
The Toyota drivers drive to the trail. You know, they're very proud of that.
Well, unless
because they're spending so much money on parts to keep those things running that they can't afford a trailer, apparently, or something. I don't know.
Or it doesn't run at all.
Well, Jimmy's got a trailer in Clifford now, so I got to give him credit.
Well, there you go.
We like to bag on Tyler, though.
Because he likes to actually hear when he's driving on the road.
Toyota two-valve Tyler.
Two-valve.
I got a new nickname for him. I haven't even told him this yet. You ready?
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Tan line. Tyler, because of his Instagram post of his welding, tan line Tyler. I'll just keep him coming, Tyler. There you go. All right, so let's talk about loading your rig on the trailer. So
yes, let's do that.
So there's some sort of ramp system to get your rig on there, and there's this is the thing. I've done it, and I see people doing it all the time. You know, you got a four-wheel drive with 35-plus-inch tires.
Right.
You don't need no stinking ramps. You can just throw it in four-wheel low and crawl right up your trailer, right? Well, it puts a tremendous amount of stress on your hitch and your truck, right?
On the ball.
Everything. Yeah, and we talked about balls, nuts coming off. And
dry balls.
Yeah, dry balls and all that good stuff. So, you know, let's not be crazy here. Throw out the ramps, get your rig on the trailer. Now, there's a lot of trailers, too, that have jacks that go in the back. So
correct.
So that takes all the pressure off your hitching system.
It's not a bad idea at all.
It's a great idea. I don't have them on my rig, but I have thought about doing it. And one of these Saturdays that I'm for. Oh, yeah. I've seen it. And they swing down.
Yep.
They throw the jacks down. And, you know, supports that whole back end of your trailer and takes all that load off of the ball when you're loading and unloading your rig.
Now, you have
something unique. So talk about your trailer there.
So my trailer is a tilt trailer.
Yeah.
And it's actually got, it's just a hinge, basically, that's maybe a quarter of the way back from the front of the trailer. That
right.
I release a pin at the very front of the trailer, and it allows the thing to hinge up or tilt down on the very back.
So you have
back.
No ramps. The trailer I deck no, comes
have,
down to the
I
ground.
I have no ramps, right. The whole trailer. So when I first got the trailer, I was having difficulty loading my Jeep. So what did I do?
Because
it was a Barbie Jeep. But I had no way to make the trailer tilt itself.
Okay.
Some of the tilt trailers, the newer tilt trailers have hydraulic ram or something.
Right.
This one didn't have that.
It's all mechanical.
That. So I kind of devised a mechanism where I use the jack, the floor.
The front
jack. I can move it from the A-frame to the actual deck.
Okay.
And I can use that to crank the deck up, you know, 10 inches or so. And then it creates the ability for me to be able to drive up on the deck of the trailer easier.
Sure.
And then once I'm up, I can use the jack to lower it. That's a 5,000 pound jack. So it's not overloaded in any way. And I just lower the deck down and move the jack back to its normal location, put it in the travel position, and I'm good.
See, that's cool.
And I mean, honestly, the trailer I have was, I can't really argue with what I paid for that thing. It was given to me, and I ended up paying for the lumber to redeck it. I bought new tires.
You rewired it?
I rewired it.
Yeah.
I actually have LED lights I'm going to put on it here pretty quick.
Fancy.
And then I painted it with a, you know, rattle can, you know, spray paint.
Rust-Oleum.
Which needs another coat.
There you go.
But I think total investment in this trailer was probably $700.
Oh, geez.
And it's been great. It's never let me down. I upgraded when I first got it, it had brakes only on one axle.
Oh, yeah.
So I upgraded so it had
brakes. So all four brakes, two axles,
brakes
four
all,
brakes
right.
make a huge difference.
Huge
difference when you're towing.
It brakes when I'm loaded with the camper, the trailer, the Jeep, everything on there. It brakes better than when the truck by itself.
Yes.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, and that's what you want.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's
especially
insurance.
When you got a Dodge towing that thing. Please. But you guys got drum brakes on there? You even have disc or anything?
Four-wheel disc brakes.
Four-wheel disc brakes. Wow. Okay.
ABS, too.
Okay, so answer me this question, Chris. When you pull your Jeep up onto the trailer, are you in four-wheel drive, four-wheel high, four-wheel low? Are you in two-wheel drive? What do you do?
Okay, so when I'm at home...
Okay.
And wow. I have the driveway. I drive up in two-wheel low.
Two-wheel low.
Okay, so I have...
I didn't know you had that option in your rig.
No, I've got the 231 transfer case, but I got the Terralo kit on it. So it's a 4-to-1.
So you can separate front and
rear.
And
I put the
twin stick.
The two-lo kit in.
Two-lo.
It's single stick. It's not a twin stick. But if I pull it all the way back past the four low,
okay,
and I go with one more notch, it's two low. Two low. Anybody that has a Terralo knows this stuff. So okay. I drive up in two wheel drive low.
Okay.
That's so cool. Usually when I arrive at Hollister, I'm in two wheel drive low.
Good, but why not four low?
I don't know.
Do you have locking hubs?
No.
You still got the vacuum.
I do. Center vacuum disconnect. It's a Dana 30, man. What can I say?
Oh my God. We got to get you into the, you're so 2000 and late.
No, come on.
We got to get you moved up here to 2019.
Come on.
We're working on this. I'm working hard. We need the listeners to help call in.
Apparently, I'm going to be driving a Tesla Model X.
We need text. We need email. WheelingWineandWhiskey.com.
Tesla Model X's.
Chris at WheelingWineandWhiskey.com. And tell him that he needs to upgrade.
To GoFundMe.
Yes. I don't know. Whatever you need. We need to get you going here. But no. So here's what I do. So I go into four-wheel low.
Four-wheel low.
Okay, so all four wheels locked, low range.
Okay.
On the trailer.
Which is good.
And then I'm automatic, so I throw it into park.
And you have a parking brake? Or you have a...
I have a Myco lock.
Micro
it's called Myco, not Micro. It's Myco, M-I-C-O lock.
So it's, right.
So it's a line lock.
Line lock.
Yeah. So you flip that lever, hit the brakes, and it holds the line pressure, the hydraulic pressure in the brake line.
So that rig's
which
not
works
going
great.
Anywhere.
Huh?
That rig's not going anywhere.
No. So, and then, you know, you strap it down. So we'll talk about that in a second. But I like four low because if something does break, a strap does break or whatever, the chances of that rig slipping off in four-wheel drive low... It's pretty slim and none, unless you get into an accident, obviously.
Yeah.
But
have you had a strap break?
No, I haven't. But I do change out my straps quite regularly. When they start showing any signs of wear, I'm buying new straps.
I'm due for a new set.
And I just buy the ones from Summit Racing.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, they work great.
The blue ones.
They're not super expensive. There's you know, higher end stuff out there, Mac straps and stuff, but you got to mortgage your house to.
What's
to
the
pay
ones
for the
that they hung the
that's
rig up?
Max.
Is that Max?
Yeah,
those are crazy. They're not cheap.
Yeah, they. And I've actually met the owner. I know the owner's brother, and it's like, holy crap! I mean, these things are sweet, but yeah, I don't have Chris money, so I just stick with the basic straps and change them out. And. And then, you know, talking about that, so I've seen some people cross their straps, you know, and you want a strap to your axle.
Yes.
You don't want to go to the bumper or something. You want unsprung weight on
correct.
There. So because as this rig's going down the highway, and if you're attached to the bumper or frame.
And a lot of these rigs have soft suspension.
And we got really soft, crazy suspension on these four-wheel drives. This thing's going to load and unload on you. So if you go to the axle with an axle strap.
Correct.
And cinch that bad boy down. The really cool way is people with these fancy trailers, especially the enclosed trailers, they have E-track on the floor. That's underneath the tires. And then they have this webbing that goes around the tire and engulfs the tire, and you strap straight down. I mean, that's the ultimate way to strap down your rig, and that's what you see on the Mack straps that are upside down. You know, they're hanging a Jeep upside down on their trailer.
But those E-Tracks, it looked like I never saw a rating that was like high enough that I maybe I'm not looking at the right stuff.
I don't know, but I've seen them and they hold. I mean, I got a lot of street rod friends and stuff that do their high dollar cars that way. And
with the E-Track.
Oh, yeah. It's freaking sweet.
Huh.
So, I don't know. You know, there's different ways to skin a cat.
We have friends that do chains, you know.
Very few. Most of them are straps. But the I like the straps. They're lightweight. They're easy to hook up. And then the other thing is crossing. Like, you'll see people cross their straps.
Right.
Okay. And I don't like that because then you got rubbing and stuff. And I've heard, you know, and I don't know the reasoning and all that stuff, but I've heard people say that that's not the best way to go. And I don't like it because of the straps are rubbing, personally. But I like just attaching to all four corners and straight down straight to your down, D-ring.
I pull at a kind of an angle.
Yeah, you're at an angle with to your D-rings, you know, so that you're totally secured. And I go around. So when I strap my vehicle onto the trailer, I get everything, you know, I'll do like the front and get it snug. And then I go to the back and I start ratcheting those down. And then I go back to the front and go till I can't go anymore. I mean, till it's freaking dead nuts.
Snug.
Yeah. And then I go back to the back and see if I can get another click out of those.
So let's talk about that for a minute, because you and I have both experienced, and I know you and I have had discussions about strapping and unstrap and loading and unloading our rigs off of our trailers.
Where are you going with this?
What am I doing? What am I saying? I always strap my own rig.
Yes.
People have been, hey, can I help you out?
No,
I'm like, no, I've got
this.
I've got this. You know, cause it's my rig, my responsibility, my trailer. Yep. I want to make sure if anything's going to go sideways.
I only let people help me unstrap my rig. Exactly. Not strap the rig.
Exactly. So this is kind of a, you know, personal preference, but I think it's good advice. Always strap your own junk because it's your responsibility.
Absolutely.
You say, hey, if something fell off, it's my fault. If it's like, damn, you know, what's his name was helping me out and that strap broke.
No, wouldn't be good. I don't do good. It. I don't do it. I stay away from that. When you get everything snug and then actually Kobe, Georgia boy there, showed me a fancy way to wrap up the excess strap.
Yeah, you mentioned that the other day.
Yeah, because he hauls a ton of equipment every day. And he showed me the trucker's way of dealing with that extra strap. So it's pretty cool. I can't even describe it on the podcast here. I'd have to show some pictures of it or something. But
okay, a video?
Maybe a video. Maybe we could do our first video on the gram.
On the gram.
But it's pretty cool.
All right, we'll have to demonstrate that.
We could.
That's the tease.
My trailer's right down the street. Maybe we could do that tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll show it to you.
Perfect. Oh, I need to learn.
It is. It's a cool way, and it looks cool, and it takes care of everything. Totally different than what I was doing before, but, you know, it works.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat here. So once you get it, strapped down onto the trailer, what else? Let's talk about wiring, because trailer wiring always...
Did we skip over how do we make sure the rig is in the right spot on the trailer?
Well, I didn't skip over it, but you're jumping ahead. Okay,
oh,
so
am I
fine.
Jumping ahead?
So
we strapped it, but we didn't talk about where it should
be
on the trailer.
So where should it be? So we talked about ball weight rating. Okay,
correct.
So where, and you're supposed to be somewhere, you know, under 500 pounds, over 300. So you're supposed to be in that 300-500 pound range of ball weight.
Right, 10%.
Weight. Okay, so how do you know that?
You don't, that's a question.
Well, that is the question, and we talked about that, and you got drunk and didn't figure it out tonight, and I didn't either.
I'm not drunk.
Oh, you're not?
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
This is a drinking show.
Can you operate
but I'm
a motor
drunk.
Vehicle at this point
Hell
in time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. So again, I mentioned it before in a podcast. It's visual with me, right? I look at the rig because it varies. I have a very long trailer. My trailer deck length is 19 and a half feet. It's a freaking bowling alley.
The deck. Not including the tongue.
The deck.
Wow.
Yeah, not including the tongue. Tongue's another 5 feet.
Wow.
So
I didn't know your trailer was that big.
Yeah. Well, thanks for noticing. or not noticing. So, you know, if I have stuff loaded on the front, i.e. dirt bike, trail, gear boxes, wood, Peter heater, all that stuff.
Or all of the above.
Or all the above and the rig, you know, I adjust my rig accordingly to take weight off that tongue or add weight to the tongue.
And I do the same thing.
So I know where it goes if nothing is on the trailer, if it's just my rig.
Okay.
The buggy and or the Jeep, just where it is, right? But if I've got stuff loaded on the front, then I go ahead and pull it on there. And before I shut off the rig, I jump off and I look at it from the side view and see if the tongue's, you know, got a lot of weight on it. And it's definitely bearing down on the tongue, or vice versa. The tongue's up and I got a lot of weight on the back of the trailer. So I'll adjust accordingly.
I do the exact same
thing. And so it's a visual, and you know, I don't know. I can't give you a number of what my tongue weight is. I would like to know to see if I'm in that range, but I will tell you, driving down the road, I've had no problems. And if you have too much tongue weight or too less, you know, you're going to know going down the highway. It'll start doing some funny shit.
Well, we have a little bit of...
what do you got here?
Comfort zone, if you will, because we have the diesel engines, and those are heavy as hell on our front ends.
So the front of the rig, yes, is
our
heavy.
Front of our tow rigs are very heavy. So,
and a weight distributing hitch, which you need to get too. Got to get that weight distributing hitch so that you can equalize that. So we eyeball it for
the best thing.
But how do you know if you've never loaded a rig on a trailer before? How do you know?
Well, that's the
you got to look.
You want your rig level.
You want everything level on there. Your tow rig and your trailer level, and then now we can go. I mean, this podcast could go on forever. Talk about ball height, so you can adjust the ball height, right? To compensate for all that stuff. So if your ball's too low, obviously you're going to have issues. Too high, you're going to have issues. So, you know, you got to make sure everything is on the level platform there.
No pun intended.
On the level.
But, yeah, I mean, and we're dealing with, and there's so many variables, but a lot of you would be towing without a camper. We tow with campers, full water
that
tanks.
That makes a difference.
And, you know, so the truck has...
So I load up my Jeep different on the trailer when my camper's on as opposed to when I don't have
the
camper.
We all do, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'm just, you know, making a point that makes a difference because of the weight that's on the back of the truck.
And you don't have airbags on your current truck, whereas I do.
Level lift.
So, torque lift.
Torque lift.
Stable loads.
Stable loads.
So, yeah, definitely, I probably wouldn't put as much air in my bags when I have no camper, if I'm towing the trailer alone with the Jeep on it.
Right.
But, I mean, these are all, it's really, you just need to be paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah. And if you can friend somebody that's towed a lot, That would be great. That can kind of, you know, hey, come check out my setup and see what you think. You know, get some opinions.
Yeah.
A second set of eyes on your operation would be good. So going back to the electrical.
Yes.
So I talked about in a previous podcast, I use dielectric grease. So I clean all my connections and use dielectric grease. Dielectric grease keeps everything nice and clean.
Mm-hmm.
But... you want to make sure. So typically it's a 7-pin connector if you're running a trailer with trailer brakes and everything.
Right.
So, you know, you got your turn signal, you got your running lights, you got your brake, you got your positive power going to your trailer, to your battery, to your breakaway switch, which we'll talk about here shortly. So you want to make sure all of those connections are nice and clean and not corroded because trailers that are sitting out there, you know, being neglected for a while and then you go to hook it up and
or having the plug dragged.
Or the wires have dragged. Yes, exactly. And you got, you know, short circuit there. So 99.99999% of the time when you have problems with your trailer wiring, what's the problem, Chris? It's a
short
in the ground.
The ground.
Ground. Always start with ground. Make sure you got a good contact with ground, but both on your tow vehicle wiring and the trailer wiring, because the ground, I've seen it so many times, and you know your turn signals will work sporadically or a brake. Lights and all that, running lights, whatever, flashing on and off, and it's because of a bad ground. Exactly. So check your ground first. Make sure you have a really good ground.
It's a moving thing. Things are going to wear out. Things are going to change. I mean, it was earlier this year. I was texting you and said I was having problems with my brakes.
Yes.
And I actually pulled apart my pigtail, my trailer, the wiring on the trailer right by the where the plug is.
Correct.
And I found that when I originally put it all together, I'd used crimp connectors. And one of them had gone bad. The one that controlled the brakes had gone bad and had come apart. So my lights were working. My ground was
everything
great.
Was working
everything,
brakes.
Everything was working but the brakes.
Well, there you go.
So I pulled it apart. I actually soldered everything together this time and shrink tubed it. And I'm not saying it's permanent forever, ever, ever, but it's going to last a long time now. So don't ever say, oh, I did that. It's not that. You may have to go back and check
it. Process of elimination.
But the ground, for sure. But again, it's very important that you make sure that your stuff is working correctly. Your brakes, that's one of the most important things. Your brake lights, your running lights, all these things are important because if you drive a lot at night, you get pulled over, fix-it tickets or whatever. Those are all a pain in the ass. Yeah,
so every time I hook up my trailer, I throw the left turn signal on and run back if I got nobody back there to check and see if the left turn signal is working. Right turn signal. Turn on the running lights. If your running lights and turn signals are working, then you got brakes and turn signals, and that's what you need to go down the highway.
Exactly.
So, that's lighting. So, and the LED has gotten stupid cheap now to convert. Yeah. If you've got an incandescent trailer lighting, convert it over to LED. You're going to be glad you did.
I have incandescent. I actually have all the LED lights, fixtures or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put those on before fall clinic.
Okay. So, perfect.
Yeah.
So, the other thing too, that I was going to talk about is, we talked about loading and all that stuff. So one of the things that I've seen happen, I've experienced it myself, and this is one of those things you never really think about until it happens, is you got your pick-em-up truck, you got your trailer hooked up.
Okay.
Okay. And let's just say you're on a non-paved surface. You're on like a gravel road or dirt.
Never go on those.
Okay, with your tow rig and trailer, it's heading downhill.
Ooh.
And you go to load up your trailer. What happens, Chris, if your truck's downhill on a loose surface and you go to load up and you don't have the jacks on the back of your trailer to support the back of your trailer?
And you didn't chock any wheels,
and your truck's in two-wheel drive, which means the rear wheels only, and you got your parking brake on, you got it in park, but you take the weight as you load up your rig and it pulls weight off of your rear axle of your tow rig, what happens?
Bad things.
Bad things happen.
I have some experience with this.
You do?
So, not to get into a lot of details, but I had a staff member that worked for me that was sent to pick up something, a Bobcat.
Okay.
With a dump truck and a trailer. Okay. And he was parked on a downhill, downhill.
Sure. Dirt.
And he started driving the Bobcat up onto the trailer with no chocks on the wheels. The weight came off the rear axle. The truck started to roll downhill because the parking brake's on the rear axle.
Sure.
So, he started rolling downhill and things went bad real fast.
What did he do?
Well, the truck, he ended up jumping out of the Bobcat and got hurt.
He bailed.
Well, it could have been bad, dude.
Don't bail.
Anyway, the dump truck.
Don't bail. Ride it out, baby.
It was an F-350 dump truck that ended up jackknifing.
Ooh.
And so, the weight the transfer of weight is bad. Like you said, it didn't have jacks on the back of the trailer or stands or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And so
the back of the trailer.
Literally the weight of the Bobcat lifted the rear of the dump truck up. So like you said, the parking
rear axle
brakes there.
And took the weight off the rear axle and down she goes.
We've
seen it happen at our friend's cabin several times with people loading on that downhill.
Yep. Scary stuff.
So if you're in four-wheel drive, you have a four-wheel drive tow rig.
Right.
Right? You can put it in four-wheel drive, and it will prevent that from happening. But
correct.
But just be aware of that, because I've seen it happen.
And chocks are better.
Wheel chocks, yeah, if you're on that downhill slope. But also, if you know and you're quick and intuitive and you see, okay, I'm unloading the rear of this pickup, you could back your rig down real quick and it's going to skid to a halt if it's got some room to.
Right.
But if you continue to ride that puppy out, it's going to go bad in a hurry.
It's going
to
go all the way down the hill somewhere.
So be aware of that. I'm sure, you know, all of you that have experienced towing have seen or done that yourselves at some point. If you've done a lot of off-roading and loading your vehicle in some ridiculous, precarious areas, but
throw a rock in front of the front tires.
Well,
or
throw it in four-wheel drive, or I orientate my rig so I know flat. Because I've done it. I've done it loading equipment. I've done it loading my Jeep.
Sometimes it's unavoidable.
Hit reverse real quick and back her on down.
Yep.
That's the practice, you know, to keep from rolling your buggy is you got to hit reverse real quick.
Get
you
out.
Watch those videos.
Get her done.
Anyway, so that's the loading section there. So, So just as a quick recap.
Yes, sir.
Because we spent a tremendous amount of time talking about just loading a trailer. and you know, we can get more into weight ratings and stuff and tow rigs, but make sure your wheel bearings, brakes, all that stuff serviced at least once a year.
Cheap insurance, as I said.
You know, tighten your lug nuts, all that good stuff. Go around. It takes a few minutes, you know, while you're sipping a beer, while you got everything hooked up out front of your house and getting ready. You're excited for your trip.
Yep.
And tire pressure. Make sure your tire pressure. Don't neglect that. It's super easy to do.
Absolutely.
The tire pressure is good.
Another thing we talked about briefly a few episodes ago, but the temperature.
Temperature of
the bearings using that.
So now we got everything loaded up and we've done all our proper loading. The Jeeps, or I'm going to say Jeep, the four wheel drive
rig.
The non Toyota rig is happy on the trailer. So everything's happy and level and straight. Everything we talked about so
correct.
Far. And you stop for gas or a piss break or something, right?
Piss break.
We walk around the vehicle, and I put my hand on the hubs of the four wheels of the trailer.
Right.
I put my hands on the four wheels of the tires. You
right.
know, just see. If there's excessive heat in your tires, something's not right.
Correct.
Okay? And then your hub, same thing, you know, if it's really hot, that bearing's not happy.
Right.
But if you could put your hand on it and hold it there for, you know, 4 or 5 seconds, I mean, it's going to be warm, but it's not going to be blazing hot where you can't hold your hand there more than 5 seconds, then something's wrong.
Correct.
So what Chris is referring to, you know, the cheap old Harbor Freight, infrared temperature gauge. Mm-hmm. And you can just sit there and shoot it right onto the axle hub there, wheel bearing, and see what the temperature is.
Yeah, if three of them are 50 degrees C, and then the fourth one's 90 degrees C.
Celsius? Are we in Canada,
eh? Hey, well, whatever.
The Fahrenheit. We deal with Fahrenheit
okay, so
here.
So if three of them are at 115 degrees Fahrenheit, and the fourth one's at 180,
Something's not right. That's right. Hey.
Hey.
So, yeah. I mean, that's another way of doing it.
Sorry.
You know, tire pressure, too. Tire pressure is going to cause tires to get hotter if they're low pressure. So,
all this stuff is preventative and easily discovered by just some quick, inexpensive diagnostics.
Yeah. You know, but it's prep and work and making sure everything's
correct before you leave, and hopefully you avoid any issues and have a nice, safe journey.
Exactly.
So, so yeah, is there anything else that we're missing here?
I don't think so. I think we did a pretty decent job.
Do you ever loan out your trailer?
No.
No, I don't either, so don't ask.
Well, that's not true. My work borrows it.
Well,
but
you store it at work.
I store it at work. But it's only used at work, so.
Yeah. So, so that's it.
We may think it, but Chris is going to say it.
All right. I'm going to take over the rant this week.
Perfect.
I've got something that has been near and dear to my rant list here, other than merging onto a freeway.
You oh, no.
For this? And it is driving related.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Well, we do a lot of driving.
Yes.
Let's hear it. Let's go.
So here's the deal. You ready for this? Let me set it up.
It's going to be good.
Because we've all seen this.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
You're driving down, it doesn't even have to be a residential, just a street. Let's just say a street, okay?
Okay.
All right? And you're looking ahead, and you see a car that has approached a stop sign to turn onto the said street, going the direction that you're headed.
Okay, so it's okay, a cross so street coming into your
basically
street.
Basically making a right-hand turn in front of you to continue down this street that you're on.
Okay.
And behind you is nobody.
Okay.
Okay? Nobody. As far as your rearview mirror can see. Now, this individual that is in this car to make a right-hand turn, and you're quickly approaching them, doing the speed limit, mind you.
Is there a stop sign at this?
No! There's a stop sign for them, right? Because they are turning right on this said street.
Okay, so it's not a three-way stop.
No!
Or a four-way stop.
Okay, just turning onto the street from like a residential neighborhood onto the main street going out into the
I gotcha.
Onto the highway.
I'm tracking.
Okay? Nobody behind you.
Okay.
Let me reiterate a third time. Nobody behind you.
All right.
Okay, you're quickly approaching this vehicle that has come to a stop to make their right-hand turn.
Okay.
And they look left. They clearly, unless they're blind, okay, can see you coming.
Like a driver on Vasco.
Sure. And guess what? They got to pull out in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
And if they would have waited 2 fucking seconds, behind them, behind me, is nobody.
No,
they got to pull out in front of you.
Of course, because they have to be first.
Exactly. If you're not first, you're last.
Exactly.
Okay, Ricky Bobby lives large in the Bay Area here. I see it all the time. And, it's comical because I've got this big-ass truck driving down the road, and they're like, I don't want to be behind that truck.
No, you're too slow.
You're too slow. And what makes it worse, if they're driving a goddamn Prius, because that thing can't get out of its own goddamn shadow, right?
But they think they can.
No. Oh, yeah. So I got to slam on my brakes, teach by the horn, lay on the horn, and say, hey, thanks for waiting 2 fucking seconds, asshole.
Are all the brakes working in your trailer?
I mean, if I could understand, okay, if I was leading and there was a parade behind me of 18 vehicles, yes, hesitation kills, get your ass in front of me and go. Right. I would applaud. Thank you. Good job. Get out in front of the parade. But when there's nobody behind me and you got to pull out in front of me and I got to slam on my brakes because you couldn't wait 2 fucking seconds.
No.
They
got to be first.
Got to be first, because if you're not first, you're last.
That's right.
But come on.
Nope.
Have a little common courtesy to your fellow drivers.
It applies in the residentials as much as it applies on the freeway.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Okay, we talked about merging on the freeway. We got a lot of comments about that, and everybody's experienced it. But Jesus, criminy. If there's nobody behind one vehicle, wait.
Yep.
Wait 2 seconds. Pull out behind them. Maybe give them a little courtesy wave. Hey, have a nice day. That would be nice. But no, going to pull out in front of you, and freaking now that person's got to slam on their brakes.
Nice.
There you go.
Rant by Jason.
Sweet.
Rant number two.
Rant number two. That was a better
one. Wait till
rant.
Number three. Number three is going to be a good one.
Well, you had another
but
rant.
I'll tell you, that is one of my pet peeves.
Oh, man.
Merging and people pulling out in front of me when there's nobody behind me.
Happens all the time.
Okay?
Happens all the
there
time.
There you go.
Happens all the time.
Okay. I'm gonna have a sip here of
sip. Well,
nice,
we're
tasty
out of,
beverage.
We're out of wine, too. That's
we're
not
We're never
good.
Out of wine
well,
over here.
The
Chris.
Bottle is empty.
Well, we got more where that came from.
So.
All right. So what else we got today?
Well, that's our rant. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, good.
It's been a good show so far.
Well, it's been educational.
It has. Hopefully.
Yeah, we're hoping to get you a rig, get you out on the trail.
Yeah, well, we'll see about
we'll
that.
We'll get you a trek.
Let's get the trek first, and we'll get Jimmy Jet educated on trailering. And,
Jimmy's trailering now with Clifford.
Jimmy's trailering, yeah. Well, you know,
we
Toyota's
need to hang out with Jimmy
home.
More. He's
we
definitely
do.
The cooler of the two of
well,
the Snail Trail podcast.
He and I have connected on the post-apoc book.
Tyler's
so
a good guy,
good.
But I can tell Jimmy's the cooler of the two.
He's a nerd, you know, ham radio nerd. You know, I'm not wearing my I don't even know where my propeller hat is
See,
right now.
See, you don't
now.
Even have it tonight. You're lost.
I think it's in the camper.
Oh,
I think
you go.
That's where it's at. So.
So.
So. What are we drinking tonight, Jason?
we've got some. Is that considered a bourbon?
It is
in front of you.
No, it's a whiskey.
Oh, see. So remind our listeners what makes it a bourbon. 51% corn.
Corn. Yes.
And then there's other parameters.
There's
there,
other parameters.
Stuff. But so what is that, Chris?
So this is I started out the evening drinking a new whiskey that I bought called Tin Cup. Jason calls it a mainstream.
It is a mainstream.
It is mainstream. These are all new to me.
It's got a great
it's
advertising campaign.
It does have a good advertising campaign. It's tasty. It's another lightweight one. I would say
I held it up next to the other bourbon sitting
Elk.
On and it's definitely a lighter but
that's fine, you know. I'm learning
for you.
I'm learning
you
at
are.
This point I'm learning a lot and
it's
I'll,
the
I'll,
Barbie Jeep of
no shit
really
so Tin Cup they're out of Colorado. It's a high rye bourbon.
So ryes are typically on the sweeter side, and I do get that a little bit.
This is an interesting one. It's looking at, I'm on their website right now, and it's a I don't know what a number 3 charred oak barrel is. Is it do they number?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So that's the intensity of the char. So
okay.
It's a lighter char.
Okay. Well,
so it's not going to part, and hence the lighter color.
Exactly.
And it's good.
It is good. It's actually one of the, it's very smooth. I
wouldn't say very smooth. It's very drinkable in that it's light.
I felt like it was very smooth. But yeah,
I'll serve you a very smooth whiskey.
Okay. But, anyway, so it's from,
who makes this? So is this all they make or
this is all they make? They have a 10 cup makes this. This is their original. And then they have a 10 year, which is apparently hard to find.
Oh, wow.
So my goal is now to try to locate some of this 10 year.
Oh, well, if I had your kind of money, you'd probably just buy it right off the interweb.
Exactly. But they're out of Colorado.
Yeah, I like Colorado.
So
like skiing in Colorado.
They include a tin cup with it.
They do. So that's part of their marketing deal, which they've done a very good job with, and their ads and stuff. So, I like it. I gotta say, Basil Hayden. I think I like better.
Really,
I do. I do.
I think
you like this better than Basil Hayden.
You know, about the
you
same.
You need to do a side by side.
Oh, well, maybe next week.
And still, Old Elk, leader in the clubhouse.
Old Elk is
still going for my Old Elk.
It's big. You know,
and then I've got others. I've got others that blow Old Elk out of the water. But Old Elk, bang for the buck so far. And again, not sponsored by them. Just a believer in Old Elk.
Oh, there you go. Old Elk is good.
That's my summer 2019 bourbon of the year so far.
Let's say this. I haven't had a bad bourbon this summer yet.
Well, there you go. You got that going for you.
So, I mean, officially looking at the website, you know, I mean, I detected these things, but.
Oh, God. Here we go. Peppermint's coming
no,
of some
no,
sort.
No, no,
cinnamon.
No.
What do you got?
Cinnamon
Fireball.
And caramel.
No. Seriously?
Cinnamon and caramel. Yeah, no. And they, you know, it. I like it. It's tasty.
So wait. What are the tasting notes? You got the tasting notes in front of you?
Yeah.
From the website.
Rice, spice, cinnamon, and caramel.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, aroma is citrus, black pepper, and ginger snaps. I didn't detect the ginger at all. But
it's so funny. I love these descriptions.
I know. I didn't detect the
okay,
ginger.
Okay. I'll give a little bit of caramel. I don't know about ginger snaps. That's
I don't know.
I don't know. You just know you drink it and you like it, and that's all. You're very basic. I love that.
It's a $30 bottle. It's yummy.
Okay.
I like it. I'll drink it. I'll finish this bottle over a few weeks.
Heck yeah, you will. And, how's that Basil Hayden doing? Is that a dead player? Is she gone?
She gone.
See, there you go. There you go. So Tin Cup is going to be on the she gone list here in a week or two.
It'll take a few weeks.
Okay.
As much as we like to say we like to drink on this show, we do. We definitely drink. But I'm gonna be up front. I don't drink during the week.
No, I didn't this week. I normally have some wine or something with dinner, and it's been such a busy week. I didn't even. So tonight I'm like, yeah, let's turn it up. And I'm not even halfway where I want to be right now. So
it's only almost midnight.
Well, that's all. So we're doing okay.
But yeah.
But so that's good. So Tin Cup Whiskey out of Colorado. Chris obviously likes the lighter whiskeys. So.
I do. I like the heavy stuff too. I mean, you know, whatever. But when I was camping last weekend up at Tahoe, I
finished the Basil Hayden.
Well, I hit that, and I also pretty much killed a smaller bottle of Jack, not a handle from Costco, but
really?
There's just a sniglet left in it.
And were you drinking that straight, or were you mixing it with a little Coke or ginger? Yeah. So Jack and Coke. Jack's pretty harsh by straight. I love Jack, but Jack, if you're doing straight Jack.
Gentleman Jack.
Straight Gentleman Jack's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But straight Jack,
that's
hardcore right there.
No,
that's a whole different level.
Cut down with Coke, Diet Coke, or whatever, or Coke Zero. Coke Zero is pretty good.
Yeah,
so
I went back to Coke, regular Coke.
But I definitely put a significant hurt on that bottle at
Tahoe
last week.
There you go.
So
sitting
anyway,
by a campfire, drinking
exactly.
Jack and Coke, life's good.
Reading my book, just chilling out,
having some Basil Hayden.
That bottle's dead.
Some Tin Cup.
Tin Cup. I'm exploring, man.
Old Elk. What else we got? We got a lot of stuff, but so there we go. So we talked about towing trailers and setups there of how to load up onto your trailer.
Yes, sir.
And then we got a little update on the your latest procurement of brown liquor.
Yes, sir.
We like the brown liquor.
I like it.
We like it. What do you think, Lorenzo?
Lorenzo's
he's giving us the wrap-up sign.
Jesus.
He just wants to. He is.
He wants to graze.
He's an ass.
He's an ass.
Truly an ass.
So what do you got? How do people get a hold of us?
Well, wheelingwineandwhiskey.com.
That's our website.
That's our website that'll direct you to all the podcasting applications out there.
Sweet. What podcast applications are we on? Apps.
Well, I know
we haven't mentioned that in a while.
Well, okay, so I know we're on iTunes, and we've got 30 some odd reviews on there, which has been cool. And
five
we encourage
star.
You, please write a review. We love to see those reviews, but we love to hear from you too. We'll get to that in a second. But Stitcher,
Google Play.
And what else, Chris?
Spotify.
How
those are the big
Spotify?
Ones.
Those are the four big ones.
Right.
So you can hit our website, wheelingwineandwhiskey.com, and see all that. But if you want to get in contact with us, you can also go to our website and click the Contact Us button.
Absolutely.
And then all hate mail goes to Chris.
Still,
at wheelingwineandwhiskey.com.
I guess it's good news that I haven't received any
That's
hate
true.
Mail.
You haven't received any hate mail?
No, not.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. We haven't received any hate mail as much as we bag on Dodges and
Toyotas.
I said we bag on Dodges and Toyotas. But
I'm going to start dogging on Fords.
But
I mean,
see,
you
need to get some Ford ammo.
Along those lines, I did send out that meme this week about all those people storming storming Area 51. And there was the UFO with the Dodge mirrors on it that are sticking out a mile.
That's crazy. I don't do that, by the way.
30 seconds after the Dodge guys storm Area 51, it's got this UFO with these Dodge mirrors on it. It's freaking hilarious. That was funny. I love it. Lorenzo loves it. So, and then I'd love to hear from you, Jason, at WheelingWineAndWhiskey.com. Tell me that you like Fords, you like Jeeps, you like buggies, that you hate Toyotas. Send it on in.
What about the Graham?
The Graham, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, all spelled out, one word, no spaces, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. I'll be posting more up on there. I posted that UFO with the Dodge mirrors. Love that. Still makes me laugh.
I don't put my mirrors.
The Rubicon's going on right now. The Jeep Jamboree. Next 2 weeks. A lot going on the Rubicon. A lot of people up there. So I'm looking forward to that on the gram and following all the racers that are up there. Campbell and Lauren is up there as well. Healy. There you go. So, should be some good posts from them and some good stories from the Rubicon. The WFO boys are up there. So that'll be good. So other than that, that's all I got, Chris. Anything else?
I got nothing.
All right.
We're out.